Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Joel Salentine of KarmaJack. In 2017, Joel saw an enormous opportunity for smaller sized businesses to grow their companies quickly and profitably with digital advertising. Today, Joel's goal is to create a legacy of success, health, prosperity, and goodwill for both himself and others. Today, we're going to be discussing Joel's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Joel.
Yeah, thanks for having me. What up?
You know, just had a great weekend and ready to dive into the week. So yes. To kick the interview off, let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners to start, where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from downtown Detroit, Michigan. Boom, beautiful Detroit.
Very nice. And so what really gets you out of bed in the morning? You know, what motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, so like, I think I do have like a pretty strong, like normal day-to-day drive where it's like, I gotta get stuff done and I care about everything and all that. Yeah. So, and I also am a morning person. So if you were to ask me to do stuff at night, good luck. So like morning's my sweet spot. So when I wake up, my biggest motivator tends to be around like, hey, how can I help people? Just kind of this undercurrent of, I think, care and consideration. I want to make a difference in people's lives. We have a lot of responsibility, or I feel like I have a ton of responsibility for our staff, because we have 25 or 26 people on staff, and then all of our clients. And so there's just kind of like this natural like pressure to make sure our day goes really well and all that.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that.
Okay. So I guess that was a long way of saying, like, I'm just afraid constantly.
You have a healthy dose of fear that motivates you.
There you go.
You have no choice. Good. So how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah. So I came from like business development. I did not come from a marketing background at all, or I would say not a traditional background. So it was kind of like sales, and I was in like fundraising and business development, things like that. After some really successful runs, I felt like marketing generally is this kind of gross and dirty place where people don't do a good job. And I just had like a really gnarly taste in my mouth with marketers. And I just felt like I think I felt like I could do better. And I look at things from a perspective from more of a business owner instead of like a marketer. And so from that perspective, it kind of gave me a different lens to view how work is actually done. So instead of focusing on impressions and reach and kind of like blah marketing stuff, it's like, hey, how can we make an impact on the lives of these business owners? Like, how can we actually drive revenue? How do we actually drive like leads that are good, that can help their business grow, do things like that? And so that tended to be my perspective. And then now I'm definitely a marketer. And, you know, I have a better, well-rounded view than when I started probably a little, it was not arrogance necessarily, but it was more like confidence that I know I can learn this space and I know I can make a pretty big impact. And that confidence kind of carried me through. And then after learning from all these amazing marketers, like Bill Patel, people like that, you kind of like, you take that collective learning plus my own past and bundle up this thing where it's like, hey man, like we're really going to focus on how we're going to help businesses grow. And that's like our first and foremost effort, whether it be e-commerce or, you know, service-based businesses or doctors or dentists, people like that. Like we can make a profound impact and we can say that to these people and feel really good about it.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about KarmaJack and what really sets you guys apart from other agencies.
Yeah, so KarmaJack is a full service digital marketing agency. So we do everything from building marketing websites all the way through conversion focused landing pages, advertising and getting people there and managing out their social media, email marketing, text messaging, like the whole spread. What's cool about that is I do not believe one person can actually do all those things very well at all. I think each person can be a specialist in a module or like a segment, right? So Google Ads buyer is going to be more analytical. They'll be a little creative, but they tend to be more analytical. And that's going to be a different personality type than like a social media ad buyer. A social media ad buyer needs to be able to put themselves into another person's shoes, but they also have to be able to think analytical. So they kind of have to balance between left and right brains, right?
Right.
Social media content person is going to be like way more of an empathy type person. They're going to put themselves in other people's shoes. They don't really care about numbers and stuff like that. And on the other side, you go into an SEO specialist, they're going to be like super analytical. So by having a specialist in each one of these little categories, you can have somebody that's really good at what they do. And then as a full service agency, you bundle up that entire group of people, which is like 7 or 8 people. And now you have this like wheelhouse of specialty marketers that just kick ass. Oops. I said the A word. Don't get mad.
It's all good.
All right.
You warned me before we got started.
No F-bombs though. We're good.
We're all good. Awesome. So what do you love most about running your agency?
So way before I started an agency, I developed this mission where I wanted to live anywhere in the world at any time. And it was way before I could even have the concept of even owning my own business. So I was in this great environment. I was working with a travel agency. It was just totally blowing up. Yet I felt really kind of like trapped and stuck, and I needed kind of like to get myself out of that space. So I started just every single day in my journaling, I just started writing, you know, live anywhere in the world at any time, every single day for like years. And then I think what happened is I started to kind of see that path. And so I started KarmaJack, and at first it was kind of a blog, and I was going to do consulting, and I'm just going to help people with digital marketing because I got SEO and that kind of stuff. And then the business just kind of took off. It matured. I did some really cool kind of commission deals to get things going with my first 5 or 6 clients, which opened the doors to get in and then prove my worth. And then that allowed, you know, me to get some income coming in. So my wife wouldn't yell. Then we were able to use those case studies to start getting bigger, better clients and so on. And then the whole thing started to perpetuate. So when I started, it was just the whole concept of like, man, I really need to live anywhere in the world at any time. Mm-hmm. And now I've actualized that, where the entire business is work from home before all the COVID stuff happened. Mm-hmm. So I built that whole concept, fortunately, before all the bad stuff happened, right? And, I was just in Ecuador last week, and still the business ran really well. I have a marvelous team that actually manages the business. And Hallie, who's our COO, just does a phenomenal job of running the business at this point. So trusting her to do her job and run her team and all that. And it's kind of propelled from there.
Very cool. So when you were first starting out, what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome, and how did you overcome that?
I think it was just learning the business and being in that space. Like I said earlier, it's like, I was like super confident I could come in here, but yet it's not easy to gain accounts. It's not like snap your fingers. You don't gain business easily. Right. And then digital marketing is this enormous giant thing. It's not just one, like, hey, we're a doctor and we specialize in orthopedic surgery. It's like, no, it's everything. And then it's everything within all of these different industries, whether it be direct to consumer or B2B. So it's just so much there. So what I had to do is just really kind of like niche down, like hone in on what I was really good at the time, because it was just me. So I started with more SEO and that space, and a lot of consulting, and ended up being like business growth consulting mixed with like digital marketing stuff. And okay. That got my foot in the door. And then from there, it was all about leveraging actual real success stories and sharing those in a way that protects our clients' information, but still gets the word out, like, hey, we've done this like really great things. Then how, like, don't you want to work with us kind of a thing.
Right.
And then the business definitely matured. So I kind of got over that hump. The next big wave was, oh my gosh, I've got too much work. I can't handle all of this. But I wasn't sure if I could afford to hire somebody. So that's that founder syndrome, right?
Yeah.
And fortunately, I lured Hallie over. And, you know, we had some, at this point, we had Joe, who's a Google Ads rock star, and Rick, who's a social ads rock star. And so the team was starting to form and take shape there. But bringing Hallie on board was that next big step for me, where I had to just really like take a leap of faith, and know that I'm going to pay this awesome individual to come in and help manage out the operations where she's strong. And that allows me to be more of a visionary type of a role in our organization.
Yes.
And we work well together like that. So it's kind of like wave one was just like getting clients and then proving that we can do it. And wave two was breaking past that founder syndrome barrier. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then started to take off from there.
And then, so what was the first role that you hired when you made your first hire?
Well, yeah. See, the interesting thing, the first role was Aaron, who is a blend between an operations person and kind of like a catch-all person, and also sales.
Right.
The two of us.
Sounds like a very helpful person to have around.
Yeah, he was great. He's since then moved on into real estate and he's doing really well. But he was definitely that first kind of person to bring on. And real quickly after that, it was Joe and Rick. So Google Ads person, the social ads person. Okay. I didn't want to mess with anyone's money, right? So you have people, you have clients, and if they're going to spend a couple $1,000s a day or a month, like that's a lot of money. And I didn't want to take chances on that. So I felt it was better to invest in something that, although I could have figured it out, I didn't want to figure it out on someone else's dime.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did that, because they actually rounded us out as an organization pretty quickly. And then Hallie was the first, executive hire, I would say.
Okay. Interesting. Yep. So I'd love to talk a little bit about sales. So what are your tips for bringing in more leads and closing more sales in your agency?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we follow what we practice what we preach, kind of a deal. So we optimize our website. So if you type in digital marketing agency in the Detroit area, we should be on the first page. Probably in the top 30 nationally, something like that. It's a pretty challenging space to be in for.
Yeah, definitely.
So we put out a good amount of content on our website, a good rock solid 2,000 plus word blogs a week, and videos, and, you try to make, a lot of helpful content, but whether people read it or not, I guess you figure it out after you publish it. But so we do the basic organic practices. And then we definitely advertise on Google. We definitely advertise on social media. Mm-hmm. We really focus on five-star service with our clients. Like, it is a mandatory situation. Like, if our clients are not getting five-star service, my head's going to pop off. That's science.
Yeah.
It's science. So, you provide that type of service, and then what happens is, and you provide the service is one thing, and then there's the value. And when you provide service plus the value, your clients will naturally refer you to other people. Yeah. So we have about 25% of blends will come in from referrals, which is a very high percentage, because we get a good amount of leads a week.
Yeah.
And then 75% are from advertising mechanisms that we do. So lead comes in, and then we have a business development person, Sean, who's awesome. And, a lead comes in, man, you gotta hit that lead within the first 5 minutes of when it comes in. Mm-hmm. So he is like Johnny on the spot when it comes to addressing a form fill or somebody calls. And then it's about authenticity. It's about genuinely understanding what those client needs are. Mm-hmm. We turn a lot of business away. We do not just work with anybody. We give a tremendous amount of free advice to people. So like if you go to the website, it's like free consultation, probably like everybody else. But when people talk to us, we actually really explore and understand what the problems are. And then typically we're able to help solve those problems like immediately on that first call. Okay. And people are kind of blown away because we're giving all this free consulting is how they look at it. And we can easily charge for it, but it's just the spirit of who we are as an organization. We want to help, we care. And so that really comes through in a totally authentic voice. So there's never a sales pitch. We just ask what the problems are, give them some advice. Mm-hmm. And if they want to work with us, great. If not, there's other people that they can explore too, but these are the things that we would definitely recommend that you do, kind of a mentality.
Okay. Very cool. So, you know, you're asking them those questions, getting to know them, being very authentic and transparent with the, with this prospect. What are one or two of those questions that you ask so that you can get to know them and maybe uncover some of the pain points?
Yeah. So like the first question is, why did you reach out? You know, like they reached out for some reason.
So obvious, but such a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, so tell us why you reached out. Like, what were you looking for help on?
Yeah.
And then usually they'll kind of tell you where they think. And then usually we'll ask, okay, so what have you done to try to solve these problems? And usually it's, you know, a mixed bag of different things. And then what are the goals? What's the whole point of this? You know, we get a lot of people that they want to do social media, organic social media content. And to me, that's like, okay, they definitely don't understand that the algorithms have been completely toppled down for pages. And Facebook or Meta, you know, their whole thing is like, they need to make money and they make money on advertising. So, you know, a lot of times it turns into an educational point of view. Like, okay, cool. So you need social media content, but what's your goal? Are you doing it for social proof, or are you doing it because you're trying to get leads? And then we just try to understand where they're coming from, and then we give them advice from there.
Okay, very cool. So you've got a prospect, you've determined that they are a good fit, you know, it's someone that you'd like to work with. Do you have any tips for closing the sale and avoiding any procrastination that might be coming into play?
Yeah, good question. So it seems like the buying process in digital marketing tends to be a few months. So I think people go through an exploration process where they have an idea, they're like, huh, maybe I need this. And they start circling around the websites. Maybe they see an ad from somebody and they click through and they're like, wow, okay, maybe I need this. And then they have to go and they have to look at their finances. And then maybe they need to talk to their business partners or whoever. And then eventually they kind of circle back and they'll maybe fill out a form so they can get a better idea of what the pricing might be. And like, I don't even know this whole digital marketing thing. What is this digital thing, you know? And so they try to gain a better perspective and then understand how much things are going to cost. And then they have to go back and look at numbers again. So it seems like there's like a good solid 2 to 3 month buying process.
Right.
Going back to who we are as an organization about being authentic, we let them drive. I came from a business development background where I was in situations where it's like, you got to close all the deals. And I think if someone needs help and if it's going to fit, they're going to sign up when they're ready to sign up. And so we tend to be very patient. You know, we give a proposal, we do some follow-up work, and then we understand that there is this weird month or month and a half lag before they actually make a decision. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of like ping them periodically. What's up, dude? You know, how's everything going? Yeah, still thinking about stuff. Cool.
Here if you have
questions. And then eventually, eventually they sign up with us. We probably have a decent close rate. I'll bet we're around like 40% of someone who fills out a legitimate person, you know, get rid of all the trash that goes in. A legitimate person that has a real business that's actually having a need.
Yeah.
You know, they fill out a form on our website and they'll probably sign up with us 40% of the time, I'm guessing.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. It's all about that follow-up. Do you have any creative ways that you follow up, or is it just kind of just reaching out and, you know, kind of just putting yourself back on the radar again?
It's typically going to be just more like, hey dude stuff. Like, what's up? Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
Like the formula stuff, because I don't know, Julia, if you're anybody like me and you're getting all these emails from all these LinkedIn people and it's literally copy and paste. Like, I just saw
that. So annoying.
So I can't stand that type of stuff and knowing that, okay, I'm a business owner and I get slammed with crap all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want our organization to be like that. So we just tend to be very personable and we're t-shirt and jeans kind of people. And that's cool. Like, we're cool with that. And if businesses don't like it, then I guess they'll find someone who's not.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Awesome. So do you have any productivity hacks to help you save time that you've come across?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How long is this thing? 5 hours, 6 hours? Where do you want to begin? Point me in a direction. Let's go.
What is your favorite productivity hack that you use?
So there's a concept called the Zeigarnik effect, and it's some Russian dude from the 1920s was studying waiters and how they're able to remember insane orders and people's drinks when they come in and all that. And then the second that the tab would be closed out, they would forget their names. They would forget what they ordered. It was just like a total blank slate. Mm-hmm. And he found that interesting. So, I find that interesting, right? And so I like kind of stacking different principles on top of each other, right? So you have your Pareto's law, the 80-20 rule, right? And then you've got the Zeigarnik effect. And then why are people so stressed out? It's because they don't get stuff done and things start to carry out over time, right? So if you don't finish project A, B, C, D, and E, that stuff's weighing on you mentally, right? Because you're not letting go of whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And then you get more stuff that comes in on top of that. How do you manage that mentally? And then you get kind of like jumbled up in your own head and then you're not doing anything. You're not being very productive at all.
Yeah.
So
you're just overwhelmed.
Kind of applying this Zeigarnik effect or understanding that concept. The faster you can get a project done, the faster it goes poof out of your brain. And it allows you to focus more on the next thing. Mm-hmm. So there's another concept. This is a book that I've probably purchased 30 of these books, no joke. And I give this book to people all the time. It's called The One Thing by Gary Keller. Oh. So this book really talks about how we as humans, men or women, are really bad at multitasking. It's not a thing. So all we're doing is kind of like shuffling things around and we're not getting everything done as quickly as possible. So the core concept is focus on doing one thing really well, jam that thing out, and then move on to the next thing, right? So you start applying some of these principles. So, okay, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to turn everything else off, and I'm just going to slam out this project, and I'm going to get it done from beginning to end, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Now I'll use the Zeigarnik effect principle, right, where it's like, okay, cool. Now that thing goes, disappears. Then combine that with Pareto's law, like what's the most impactful thing I can do today? And you do that at the very beginning of your day. And before you know it, you're focusing on the most important things, getting the most important things done at the very beginning of the day. Mm-hmm. And then it's not in your brain anymore. So you can think clear, so you can see what's going on in the future better. That's just like one concept.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's awesome. No, and it's so true. When I started really batching my time and putting it in my calendar, and I just gave myself permission to block out everything else and just focus on one task at a time. I instantly noticed I was so much more productive and I just less stressed. Like, I just gave myself permission to just focus on that one task at hand. And also, if I didn't get it all done, I would just roll it over into the next time block in my calendar. And yeah, it worked out awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. See, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it works really well.
Yeah. So I teach a lot of these principles with our staff and we'll do weekly meetings and we'll focus on like fundamentals. We'll do like whatever businessy training stuff. But I tend to spend time training people on how to be more impactful in their day. I don't care how many hours our staff works at all. Mm-hmm. The job has to be done really well and it has to be done on time or early. Mm-hmm. But as long as those two things are done, like, good luck, man. Like, enjoy your trip to Arizona or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Get the job done. And that is a super important culture for me coming from super stuffy business world and jammed up working 80 hours a week in some cube somewhere, right? So I want to create this environment where people can like actually do a great job and enjoy their life. Here's a cool thing. When people enjoy their lives, when you're outside, walk, you go for a walk and you just, maybe you're, maybe you see some sign in some window and it sparks an idea. You can become more creative when you're not just like jammed up. So
yeah, totally.
I'm a big believer in like allow for freedom, because that freedom actually creates more creativity, mm-hmm. Cleaner, clearer thinking, and yeah. People will come back. They'll work a fraction of what they're about to do because they're thinking clearly and they're able to just knock something out and yeah. They feel really great and they've got, you know, they've had the best work day of their life. And then that happens ideally every day, but we all know that's not realistic.
Yeah.
You gotta have the bad stuff to have the good stuff.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And like working with a clear head, I know myself, I will accomplish, you know, probably 4 times the amount of work, and it'll be better quality of work when I work in the morning. That's just when I'm most productive. I know that's when most people are most productive. Yeah. Whereas like opposed to like late afternoon when I'm kind of tired, you know, you're just like, you're just not on your A game. You're not as alert as you could be. So yeah, it's really interesting when you get the most work done and taking advantage of that time as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would love to talk about what systems or software have been critical for helping streamline your operations.
Hallie, where is she? Where is Hallie?
Or if there's any, you know, systems or software that you would just like to talk about that have been helpful in your agency.
We really use Asana. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, we use Asana as well. It's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. And so she's, you know, the grand poobah of all that. So all the kind of like automations and internal things to make sure that things get done, and you know, you check the box and you make the notes and you do all that stuff. So as an organization, we use Asana as our house to manage out all of our clients, projects, everything. And then they use Slack. I will not go on Slack. I refuse to be distracted, but the team likes to use Slack because there's all like kind of the inner communications and all that. Mm-hmm. And they call me an old man because I email. So, but yeah, it's really Asana. It's probably the marquee platform that we use within our org.
Okay, awesome. Are there any, you know, hidden gem pieces of software that you've come across that have just been really helpful?
Yeah, Zapier, I never know how to pronounce
yes.
it.
Yes. Right? I literally, when I talk about Zapier, I say the same thing. I'm like, Zapier, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Zapier.
I know, yeah, no, it's so awesome for just creating automations, just connecting software.
Yeah. Cute little thing that connects all the different things together and all that. So that's a fun little, it's really not that expensive either. So
no, it's not.
It's kind of cool. Until awesome. You start making thousands of zaps, but yeah, it's definitely been a time saver for us.
Nice. So knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
First starting out with CarmenJack or starting out my career?
First starting out with your agency, with CarmenJack.
Okay. Just being okay with where you are. It's okay. Things will build when they're supposed to build.
Yeah.
The second that I would let go of something is the second that something would come in my, you know, quote unquote, in my favor, if you will.
Yeah.
I learned over and over again after kind of like, so I basically, I held on to things a little bit too much because I was worried about money and stuff, which is, you know, you kind of need to do that, especially when you begin.
Yep.
Always, actually. I always need to worry about the money. But when, you know, when I brought on somebody to take over a thing that I wasn't good at, mm-hmm. let that person who is good at doing that thing, let them run free, is when magically more clients would just show up on our lap.
Amazing.
And then, okay, so that thing is, okay, now what's the next thing, right? And so I'm fake good at operations. I'll sound like I'm good at ops, but I'm really like mediocre at best. I'm just more of like think big, but then also execute. So it's kind of like combining all that.
Yep.
But really having somebody that's super strong in operations that can actually manage things out and hold the right type of expectations that I have was a huge lift, right? So bring Hallie on board. So again, so here's something I'm really not great at. I'm going to give this thing away to someone else. And the second that that happened, more clients came on board or people upgrade or do whatever. And that has been a trend with my entire journey with Karma Jack. So what I've learned is I'm way more free on hiring more people, right? So we have three account manager roles, jobs that are open right now, and a director of ops, because we're kind of like moving that next level. And I'm like super cool with it. Where if you were to talk to me 2 years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, we're going to spend this money. And like, what if something bad happens? It's like, no, you know, instead, let's be free with this. These are areas where we know when we unlock them, great things are going to happen. And it really has been clockwork. So I don't know exactly why it happens. You know, leave it up to the universe to determine all that. But
yeah,
letting things go has been a huge thing. So I wish, hey, past Joel, let things go a little bit earlier, take some faith and cover up all your weaknesses with people who are way better.
Yeah, no, you know, you're the second guest who's come on and who's basically communicated that exact same idea of, you know, do your best, you know, put the work in, but then kind of just let it go, you know, to the higher power, whatever it is, have that faith that it's all going to work out. And, you know, if you're not religious, I think it's just good for your mental health in general. You know, if you are religious, you believe in that higher power, you know, just it's beneficial as well. So, I personally operate that way as well. And I think it's a really great way to conduct business.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think would be helpful to other agency owners who are listening?
Yeah, there is a concept of competitiveness within marketing companies and marketing agencies, and I don't kind of adhere to that. I really believe that most businesses have super strengths. So one of the areas that we've done is we've actually partnered with a lot of other marketing agencies. So maybe one agency would be maybe they do print or something like that, right? And they got some digital marketing stuff. And then we'll work together, and that ends up being better for them and us. So I think in this space, everybody should be like super friendly and willing to give more, because I think in this, the better off that everybody can give, like, hey, these things actually make a difference when, you know, when you channel your energies to focusing on clients that you want to actually help grow instead of just trying to like make some money. That shift in thinking goes a long way. And I don't think, so when you go outside of the marketing industry, I don't think marketers have the best reputation. I can speak to it because I was outside of the space, and I believed that myself before getting into it. So I think the more marketers that can actually make a profound impact on each individual business, instead of focusing on like how much money I can make, you can make money if you do a great job. Focus on doing a great job, the money will always come. And I think if more marketers could have that type of attitude and focus a little bit less on like what's in it for them, focus more on what's in it for your customer, and eventually great things will happen, is a very good ideology for all of us to have.
Yeah. I know I have a lot of podcast guests who come on, and they're very open to connecting with other agency owners and sharing that knowledge. It's really nice to see, because, you know, when you're in a business where you're offering so many services, you can no doubt benefit from combining forces and working with other agencies and just offering white label services. So, to anyone who's listening, you know, look through some of the guests that I've done in previous episodes. And, you know, if there's someone who you would like to connect with, reach out, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're more than willing to connect, have a conversation, and help another agency owner out.
Love it. Yeah. Group hug, everybody.
Yes. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, I mentioned the one thing by Gary Keller, but I'll mention another one. It's called Traction by Gina Wickman.
That's a good one.
It's a very good one, especially if you're trying to scale your business. Yeah.
Yeah.
High, super strong recommend.
Yes, definitely. Implementing EOS within our business was a game changer.
Yes.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Wake up, coffee, read, and journal. In my journaling, I write down the three things I'm grateful for. I write down my mission, which is a legacy of success, health, prosperity, and goodwill and perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And then I write down whatever garbage is in my head that morning.
Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not especially, like no one probably relevant today, but maybe more like the old school people, like Sam Walton. I read his book and I thought that was a very interesting read. Kind of opened my mind to things a little bit more.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
I'm going to say Asana.
All right. There's only a million to choose from. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Patience. It's okay, man. Like, don't care about titles. Don't care about stuff that really doesn't matter. Focus on the things that are important. Spend more time with your family. Spend less time worrying about work.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Joel. It was great having you on the podcast, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.